Hello and welcome to Dirty Lazy Girl, a podcast that offers realistic girlfriend support and problem solving for imperfect people like me. I'm Stephanie Laska, author and creator of Dirty Lazy Keto. I lost 140 pounds by breaking all the rules and becoming a weight loss rebel.
And I'm Tamara Snezik, a professor of sociology, Stephanie's co-host, and her Dirty Lazy Girl partner in crime. Every week, we'll tackle a potential obstacle in your way with unconventional, dirty, or lazy problem-solving strategies. Let's get you started. It's season three of the Dirty Lazy Girl podcast, and today's topic is how to be your own best advocate. And Stephanie, I think I'm a pretty good advocate for like my children or my friends. For instance, you know, I've had to march down to the school a couple of times and really fight for my kids, you know, to get in the right class or to stop the bullying or whatever the issue is. But standing up for myself, I'm not so good at that. I don't fight for my own self the way I have my kids. And I guess it means, I think what that means is I don't really value myself enough. And I really want to learn to value my needs and my wishes. And then I think I can be a better advocate for myself.
Well, it's interesting, Tamara, because I think learning to speak up for myself was a skill that was really at the heart of my weight loss journey. Every pound I lost, I really feel like I could tell you a story about how that translated to speaking up more for myself and my own needs. From learning to order in restaurants, to delegating housework and job tasks, to really even just prioritizing my time. I think every pound lost, I learned how to speak up for my own needs at every step. So for me, I think this topic is important because learning to become my own best advocate was really strongly tied to developing my own self-respect.
So true. It applies to everything, right?
It really does. It leads into so many different areas. So it does. I'm really passionate about this topic.
So today we are going to walk you through a 10-step process that's going to help you stand up for yourself and be your own best advocate. But first, a quick break.
Well, for all of our listeners and viewers, if right now you are starting over, starting fresh with the keto diet, I want you to know that I've got your back. I've created a ton of resources to help you. And I share all of the recipes that helped me lose 140 pounds in the Dirty Lazy Keto cookbooks. And there are now three cookbooks to choose from. And it was really kind of fun. I got a message from a lovely listener in Sweden, which was so cool, all the way in Sweden. And she was asking me which one of the cookbooks she should start with because she is new to Dirty Lazy Keto. And I wanted to just assure all of our listeners that all of the cookbooks have general information about how to start Dirty Lazy Keto in the introduction, as well as the 100 recipes. So it's not like you're just getting a recipe book. It's really a how-to book plus how to cook this way. So all of the cookbooks are available online on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or the brand new cookbook, the No Time to Cook cookbook, is available now in stores like Target or Costco. So order your copy today.
Thanks, Stephanie. So let's get started with our 10 steps to advocate for yourself. And just a side note, we're getting a lot of these steps from a really good website called mentalhealthrecovery.com. So be sure and visit their website if you want to get even more detail on the 10 steps.
Perfect. What's our step number one, Tamara? We want to help our listeners get going in the right direction because they need to become their own self-advocate. So what's the first step, really?
I think the first one is the one I need the most work on. And that's the hardest, which is to believe in yourself. So before you actually take any action, you have to decide you're worth it. You're worth the effort to advocate because it's not easy. It's going to take some, you know, like courage and to fight for your rights. So that's the first step, is just believing in yourself.
I actually call this step the buy the expensive celery step. Okay. Now, if you're wondering why, I think I have shared a little bit about on the podcast my grocery shopping drama in my household, where my husband likes to buy the cheapest stuff that's on sale and go to 12 grocery stores if he needs to buy stuff on sale. And there was so long, Tamara, where he wouldn't buy celery if it wasn't on sale. And then I would get really pissed because I wanted my celery. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we would argue, like, and I'm joking now, but it was a real problem in our marriage. We would fight about certain grocery items that he wouldn't buy if they weren't the right price. So, you know, I ultimately, in my journey, I had to figure out that I'm worth the damn expense of celery.
Yeah. Yes,
even if it's like $1.08 or $1.12 and not 89 cents, I'm worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have to decide you're worth it. And that particular item is worth the fight.
It's symbolic though. I mean, I'm not saying like celery is going to solve all your problems. For me, that was symbolic where I took a stand in my marriage and with my family household expenses. And I decided, damn it, I'm worth spending that money or prioritizing, you know, that task. I'm worth that. And that was what it was really about. It was where I finally put my foot down and I was like, no, no more. Yeah. You know, it's not about the money. It's not about, you know, who's grocery shopping and who's doing that. It was about I'm worth my beliefs about what I need.
Yeah. And I'm a people pleaser. And so sometimes I'm willing to sacrifice my needs in the name of peace and to not raise a fuss and have to argue and fuss about it. So for me, I have to say, no, first of all, I don't have to be the peacemaker. And because that's why I feel like I have to do that. And two, like I'm worth the fight. So what if it causes a little tension and somebody resists me and doesn't want to do it? I need to feel like that's okay. That's okay. Cause I get to have my needs met too.
That's right.
Yeah.
Boom.
Boom. Now if only we could just
give it up for Dr. T. You heard it here on the Dirty Lazy Girl podcast.
Seriously. It's one thing to say.
It's a little loud. I got excited there.
Yeah. Another thing to do it, but that's, you know, that's where we will focus, right?
But once you overcome that hurdle, then you're ready for step two, which is to really know your rights.
Yeah. And, you know, it depends on the situation. Like if it's a work thing, you know, you have a lot of work rights and you should know those before you go in, you know, asking for a raise or asking, maybe you have to reduce your workload or some time off or a vacation or whatever. You know, read your employee handbook, go to your union. You know, there's a lot of resources out there. If it's in your relationship, I think there's also rules about relationships and you have rights in a relationship. I think as women, we're taught like, we don't have the right, like we have to be self-sacrificing. And actually, no, we have the right to privacy. We have a right to work out and take care of our body. We have a right to eat well, like you said, with the snacks that help you the most. So we have to just sit there and think about, well, is this my right to ask that? And heck yeah. And if you're not sure, you can see a counselor, a mental health professional that can help you work through if, you know, maybe I am demanding what's, you know, trampling on somebody else's rights. If you're not sure, you know, you can ask around or go on a website.
Yeah, you're right. I think a lot of people feel like they have to go along to get along. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that means as women or just as, you know, being a worker at a company, you feel like you have to go along with what everybody else is doing. So my example for this one, Tamara, is that I feel like I have the right to eat healthy food, even when other people are not. And I've been to a lot of work meetings, conferences where large groups of people in a ballroom, and we're all having to eat kind of the same meal at once. And it's really caused me a lot of health problems over the years because I'll sit there and suffer like, oh, everyone's, you know, eating the same starter, the same meal, the same everything. And I'm upset. So for me, again, another one of the lessons I learned in my journey was that I have the right to ask for healthy food. I can call a hotel ahead of time or a conference, or if I'm registering for an event, I can tell them, this is what I need. This is my health requirements and I am not going to eat X, Y, and Z. And it's been amazing being a self-advocate because other people glom on and they're like, I want what she's having. Yeah. You know, how did you get that? And I'm like, I just asked.
Yes.
That's it. I just asked. And they're like, seriously?
Yeah.
That's it. And it was quiet. It was simple. It was not embarrassing. I just asked.
Because the worst they can do is say no.
And they have, and then I'll bring something on my own or eat before I go.
Yeah.
But I go to enough conferences, work meetings, trainings, and for my other job where this is important to me and it was interfering with my health goals. So I finally just asked.
And you're right when you say, you know, other people glommed on. You actually made things better for other people unintentionally. It just reminded me, we have a guy who, a teacher who's a vegan. And when our cafeteria would do, you know, events and stuff, he would call them up and say, I want my vegan.
Nothing wrong with that.
And you know what? He made our campus better for vegans because now they know he's going to call up.
And he'll ask.
And he'll ask. And so now they offer it on their menu. And I'm like, he really helped out other people. I guess maybe that's something also to keep in mind when you're fighting for your own rights. Ultimately, you're fighting for other people like you, whether or not you meant to or not.
Well, yeah. I mean, your meals could be kosher. They could be low sodium. Yeah. It could be anything. But the point is you have to know your rights and in any situation and then ask for them.
Yeah.
And that leads us to step three.
Yeah. Decide what you want.
Decide what
right.
you want.
So if you go in, you know, demanding something, be clear about precisely what you need. What tends to happen, Stephanie, and I've done this before, like you come in with a whole boatload of complaints. Mm-hmm. I'm sick of this because you've held everything in for, you know, too long.
And you explode.
You explode and you're then like, everything they did for 50 years comes out. Like,
right,
did this, you did. And so what you, I would say, take some time and say, wait, I'm setting up this meeting or I'm meeting with this person to ask for what I want. Just be really precise and stick to one thing. Don't unload everything. If you need to, like, then do it over time, but nobody can handle getting 20,000 complaints all at once.
That's a good point. You have to be more focused is what you're saying.
Just focus on and get clear about, so sometimes you think you're clear, but actually practice saying what you want to say in that uncomfortable conversation will help you. Claire, you'll hear yourself and go, oh, I didn't make sense. So you can be, you know, clear. So they understand what it is that you actually want.
I actually find this number three, deciding what you want, kind of the most controversial or the most interesting to me. This is the one that really hit home because I see so many other people using this as an excuse to not take care of themselves. They let other people decide for them.
Yeah.
I see that very often where, I can't because I'm a caregiver. I can't because I work an hourly job, or I can't because I'm a truck driver. They use this as an excuse of, I can't decide what I want because other people have done that for me.
Yeah.
So for me, I really, in my own experience, I had to face that and say, well, that's BS. You know, I'm in charge of my life. I'm in charge of my choices. No one else is making me, you know, make lunches for the kids and not work out in the morning, or no one else is making me eat what everybody else is eating. I needed to decide that for myself, and that's it. I had to decide that for myself, and then the rest became much easier.
Yeah. And once you get that clarity, and then I think when you present it to other people, they're more likely to adopt it because you're so clear and sure about what it is that you
got to be clear. I mean, it's like ordering in restaurants. You know what I mean? Yeah. If I say, just something simple, like, I don't want French fries. I want a sandwich. I want it wrapped in lettuce. I want vegetables on the side. Boom. Then it comes the wrong way. It's like, what is this? Take it back. Yeah. You know, I'm not being a bee. I'm just saying this is what I need and what I want. Yeah. It's just clear and automatic. Yeah. I'm not like, oh, darn, he brought French fries. You know what I mean? And that's letting someone else decide my health, not me.
Yeah.
You have to be really clear.
You do. And I think talking to other people, reaching out or just journaling or whatever will help you get, you know, just sit down and say, okay, what is it that I want? And that helps you get a little bit more clear.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Kind of like getting the facts, right? You got to get your facts straight.
Well, and I know when I was chair of my department and I had it for 3 years and my time was up and they were pressuring me to do another 3 years. And I remember deep down, I really knew, like, I just couldn't do it. But I was just so guilt ridden. And again, my people pleasing. And it really helped me talk to someone. I had a trusted other colleague who was also a chair to just tell them, look, I'm hesitating. I'm not sure what I want. And we talked. She's like, no, I can tell you don't want it. And I was like, you're right. I don't. So that helped me get clear about, you know, what I really wanted. Cause sometimes we're foggy because we do listen too much.
You can't become your own self-advocate until you really deep down know what it is you want.
Yeah. That seems so easy, right?
It kind of is. That's the irony of this whole process. Yeah. It's like we make it to be so complicated. Like, oh, I can't do this. I can't. It's like, yeah, once you work these steps though, and you decide what you really want,
yeah,
moving on to step, you know, 4 and 5 and 6, it just becomes that much easier. Yeah.
So what is step 4?
Well, I was trying to move on to step 4, but anyway, I'm teasing. Number 4 is get the facts. You need to do your research, right? You need to know what it is you're asking for.
Yep.
Yes.
So, you know, like if I'm being guilted into doing 3 more years of chair, one of the things I did was get some facts about, oh no, so-and-so is eligible and so-and-so is also eligible. So I actually got some facts to help support me in saying that someone else can do this. So that might be one way. Or like, you know, like for instance, with your salary, or, you know, you can say, well, it's only an additional 10 cents and that only adds up to $15 a year. Here's $15. You know, I mean, that helps you.
Yeah, it does. When you lay it all out in front of you, you're like, yeah, like other people could do this job, or
yeah,
this is my budget. But here's the thing I find interesting about getting the facts, Tamara, is I think you have to be careful where you're looking for advice, because mm-hmm. some people, when they're trying to convince themselves they can't do something, I've observed people look for advice kind of in really weird places. Wouldn't you agree you have to like look in a trusted source direction, yes, as opposed to like, you know what I mean? Yeah. 'Cause there's people in your life that will encourage you to not do the right thing.
Yeah.
And then there's others that will lead you in the right way. It's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
Where you can like steer yourself down the wrong path by going to the wrong advice sources.
Yeah. Sometimes you go to the person who just tells you what you want to hear.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes you get someone who don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Like you said. So I guess it's just maybe think carefully about who you ask.
Right. Yeah. Get your facts straight. And then, but at the same time, be aware of where you're going for those facts, because you might just be leading yourself astray.
Yeah. I've seen some bad advice, like on, you know, online.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. I mean, I'm thinking about folks, especially at this time of year when people are getting started with their health goals and they start asking for help, and people will say, oh yeah, you should, you know, do egg fasts and carb cycling and cheat meals and all this garbage. And I'm like, no.
Yeah. No.
I mean, I think that's horrible advice. I think that telling people to, it's like, oh, you're trying to quit smoking? Go smoke a carton of cigarettes. Really? Is that a good idea? No, it's not. You know, you have to think sometimes about the source that's giving you information.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe reach out to more than one person that way. That's another way to get a variety of advice.
Right.
Okay. Well, number 5, once you've got your facts, is plan a strategy. So for this one, you want to take what you've gathered and come up with a way you're going to ask. How are you going to ask? Where is it going to be? Who exactly are you going to direct your request at? And so think it through, like, just don't go in there. 'Cause then what happens is you end up just blabbering about, you know, this and that.
I think for me, I tend to get real resentful, Tamara, if I don't make a good strategy. I go down this path where I think everyone else should support me and they should all do all the work, and then it will be easy for me. I don't know. Does that make sense? Where I start like expecting the world around me to morph.
Yeah.
And then I get really resentful and angry if that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Am I the only one? Yeah. I do that. I admit it. Like, for example, when I set up the studio, you know, one of our earlier episodes, you coached me on how to create my own space. Remember? Mm-hmm. And you talked about the value of like the she shed and the cozy corner. Mm-hmm. And I was able to like transform part of my house into this beautiful studio that I love. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. My whole family started coming in here and like moving stuff around and setting up shop. And my kids were doing crafts and my husband was doing his work. And I'm like, get out, people. I assumed they would get with my plan. You know what I mean? I thought they'd, oh, look at Stephanie's being a self-advocate, making her own studio. No, they did not support me one bit. So I needed to make a plan to get them all out of here and lock the door.
Yeah. So it's not just a plan of action, but then what happens if they say no?
Yeah.
Or what happens if they say, okay, but then they sabotage you? Yeah.
That's what mine were doing. They're all like, that's great, mom. And then they wouldn't support me. They'd come in and move the microphones and borrow my desk and actually move furniture out and into the room. And every time I'd come in, everything would be in a weird place or lost.
Yeah.
So it was really frustrating. And yeah. But here's the thing, for being a self-advocate, I had to learn that I needed to stop relying on them to take care of me. I needed to take care of myself and do what it takes to protect my space and make a goal for myself.
Yeah. And that just asking isn't enough. You have to follow through.
Yeah. So kind of like my celery. You know what I did about celery? Because it's symbolic. I'll just be honest. Mm-hmm. I stopped asking people to buy me the damn celery and I went and bought it myself.
Yeah,
exactly. That's what really mattered. And I wasn't resentful about it. Yeah. I said, I'm going to go to the grocery store. I can do that for myself. I don't need to ask anyone to do that for me. I can handle buying the damn celery.
Yeah.
And then there's no argument.
No. So advocating kind of, it's ongoing. It doesn't end.
This is not a one and done topic.
Darn.
Is it? No, it's not. That's why I was like, every pound I lost, I could tell you 140 stories. Because these, I mean, this is a real deal. This is like, this is your life's work. This is the crux for me. This is the crux issue. Self-respect and self-advocacy are everything.
It's the key to happiness.
It is. And you know what? And people might judge you for it. And I think that's okay. Whatever. Yeah. I used to be someone people could walk over, and now that's not the case. Yeah. And that may ruffle some feathers, and I'm okay with that. You have to own it. This is a new path.
Yeah, you do. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be consequences. You know, not everybody is going to be happy that you're looking out for yourself.
Right.
But you know what? Not everyone's going to be happy if you don't either. Like, I have to tell myself, no one's going to be happy, so I might as well make myself happy.
That's right. Because that's number six, right? Is your goal is to gather support, and it's not going to be an automatic thing. You're not going to be like Tamara saying, oh, I've decided this for myself. I'm going to, like, you wanted to go to Europe. Not everybody in your family might be on board. They might be like, that sounds expensive. You're going to spend a bunch of money on this trip. And oh, it could be dangerous, or I don't know. Not everyone's going to jump on board, and that's normal.
Yeah. So you can expect that. You might plan for that, you know, with your counter arguments, or just learn to be okay with it.
I mean, for me, in regards to weight loss, I cut some people out. Mm-hmm. I called it the circle of trust in one of the books that I, in this one here. For people that have read that, the Dirty Lazy Keto Get Started, I talk about the circle of trust, and it's like, not everyone gets to be in your circle of trust. They don't have to be on board. They don't have to support me and my goal. Mm-hmm. Some people I didn't discuss my weight loss or eating habits with at all. And if the topic came up, I changed it.
Yeah.
That's okay with me.
Yeah.
You don't have to convince everybody to support you.
Right.
And I think that's something as self-advocate journey, you know, this whole topic. This is a hard one. People go crazy trying to convince their husbands or kids, their whatevers, to join them on the journey, and they're not going to.
No. So you have to find support where you can, and it may not be the ones you want.
Right.
You know, like,
and some might surprise you, right?
Right. I'm always surprised at certain people who will support you and others who don't. So I just take what, you know, take the support I can get, find it where I can't find, you know, if I need to go to other places, but reach out. I think, because support it's important. And if you can't get the support, learn to let it go. And that's hard too.
It's a real process. Each one of these steps, we're not trying to minimize them, but each one is a hurdle.
Yeah.
You agree? I mean, this is why becoming a self-advocate is quite a challenge. Is each layer is like a big deal, which full of obstacles. And, you know, that's why I said, cut these people out. You cannot change your whole community to join you on what it is you're trying to achieve. If you speak up for yourself at work, that might make people mad.
Yeah.
And maybe your boss, your colleagues, they may not be on board with what you're trying to do, but you have to decide, is this what you really want?
Yeah.
And then go for it. Because
you only live once.
You're not going to please other people. This is your life. You get it once and it's going to be over before you know it. So if you don't go after what you want and self-advocate, no one's going to do it for you. In fact, they will take advantage of you.
Even people close to you will do that.
Yes.
Not in an evil way, but.
No, they won't. They'll walk all over you, your kids, your husband, everybody will. Because they're going after what it is they want. I mean, I'm not trying to be like a dog eat dog negative. perspective, but it's just true. It's like, I was watching this movie or a show on Amazon Prime called Run. And the lead actress is the lady who plays the queen on The Crown. I love her. What's her name?
I don't know.
Oh, you haven't seen it? No. Well, anyway, she's raising these boys and they're horrible boys and they like don't make their bed and they don't work and their house is a mess and they're drinking and smoking. And she's working hard at like a Costco, paying all the bills, makes dinner. No one eats it. They're just these horrible children. And then at one point, the boys just run amok and do horrible things and getting in trouble with the law. And then she just explodes and then lets go. And I think she turns them in. Sorry if I gave away the plot. That's like in the first episode. But she just, it's that obliger rebellion where she's trying to take care of everyone. And but they just walk all over her.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have to ultimately fend for yourself. And they don't respect you when you don't, you know? Truth. And that's kind of like our seventh targeting our efforts, because like in your example, she just exploded and did this extreme thing.
It happened.
Yeah. But if she would have actually had a plan and had a target, you know, like, what is it that I want to achieve and who do I need to talk to and how do I need to talk to them? Does it need to be in writing? Does it not? Does it, you know, do I need to talk to, you know, fill out this paperwork or that thing, get that all situated and then have a targeted person or speech or whatever, or action to get it done. Cause I think when we don't do that again, you just go in and explode and then nothing happens.
Yeah. I have a girlfriend who was recently divorced and she was married for like 35 years with two kids. And one day she just blew up because she had just not self-advocated her entire marriage and put up with a lot of garbage and crap. And her kids went off to college and then she just blew up the husband and left him and then blew up their whole life. And I'm like, she never spoke up along the way. And that's, for me, it was like so surprising because it's like she waited till it became, you know, level 10 and then exploded, when in fact she could have targeted her emotions, her discussions, her self-advocacy at every little step. You know, don't wait till it's a volcano. And it took the whole world by surprise, her husband, the kids, no one even suspected she felt that way because she had never talked about it.
Yeah.
I mean, how is that? I don't know. It's like,
I think sometimes
it's good or bad. I'm just saying, you know, look at that example and think, you don't want your life to be like that. You don't want to wait till one day you just blow up. Think about little ways you can work at it along the way.
Yeah. And don't expect people to read your mind, because I think, again, women especially tend to believe that, like, they should know I'm pissed. I'm like, they don't care. They got their way. So, you know, you have to vocalize it and be very targeted in what you want, you know? So not just, you kids are lazy. Just say, I want your beds made by 8 o'clock or this consequence happens. Like, that's a much more targeted, specific, focused statement. Of self-advocacy rather than, you know, this just general complaint that's not really focused.
Just spinning.
Yeah, you're just spinning. And I, and kids know that too. They're like, oh, they'll spin and then they'll get over it. They know that. So they wait you out. Okay, so number 8, after you target your efforts, express yourself clearly. So what happens, what goes wrong with the expressing ourselves when we actually have the conversation?
Well, here's the thing. You kind of mentioned about like kids and expectations and laying yourself out clearly, telling people what you want. Here's the thing. We have to express ourselves, but we also have to be willing to stick to our guns. So if you are to say to your family, for example, I remember telling my family one day, I'm no longer making pasta and rice or toast or mashed potatoes, or any of that kind of high starch side dishes to go with dinner. If you guys want that, I will teach you how to make it. It's pretty simple. But I'll make the rest of the dinner because I enjoy cooking. And y'all are welcome to eat what I make. But I just won't be making those side dishes. I thought that was pretty clear. Right?
Yeah.
But then dinner time comes and everyone's like, where's the tater tots? I'm like, I don't know, probably in the freezer along with the frozen french fries and the box of mashed potatoes. Yeah. And they're like, well, where are they? And I'm like, I'll teach you how to make them. And it didn't happen once, Tamara. I had to do this repeatedly for months and months and, you know, almost years and years before some folks in the family got the hang of it. But now they know how to make these things and I don't make them. So I had to express myself clearly, but I had to back it up and be consistent.
Yeah. And repeat yourself.
Repeat yourself. You can't say things once and expect people to morph to your standards and then get mad when they don't do what you want.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, and even things like on the workplace, if you're asking for a raise, be specific about what you want. Like, I want a 10% raise starting January or, you know, whatever. Because it's in my contract, because you did your research. And like, so those kinds of things, like I said, if you don't, they'll take advantage of you and give you the lowest thing they can, you know, they can do or whatever. So the more clear, the more specific, the more precise, I think the better off you're going to be. And if you're, you know, you can run it by someone else and say, does this sound clear? And they can help tell you if you're not clear. Yeah. I do that too sometimes to protect people's feelings. Like, oh, you know, I just need a little more help. No, I need to say, here's exactly the help I need and when I need it.
Boom. Boom.
Yes.
Tamara has spoken.
Yes. And that's exactly, that's what we kind of led into number 9, which is to assert yourself clearly. So speak out, say it clearly, repeat it as much as you need to, while also, you know, not letting them run over you or say you're saying something different or start an argument with you. That's the hard part, is to really be assertive and not put the other person on the defensive.
Yeah, I think when we say the word assertive, for some reason, like a lot of people hear that word and they're like, oh, that sounds like you're picking a fight and you're going to be, you know, this horrible person and be difficult. But it, I don't know if it has to be that way. It can just be smiling and just very clear. It's like when, you know, I've had a lot of people over the years say to me, oh, one bite won't hurt you. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, I just used a little bit of flour in the sauce. It's fine. Mm-hmm. And they'll say something like that to me. And then I'll say back, oh, okay. Well, I understand that works for you, but that's, you know, I'm not able to eat that, but thank you.
Yeah.
That's Which assertive. Is, that's yeah. clear. Thank you yeah. for offering. No, thank you.
Yeah. And you don't even need to give excuses. Like, here's why. It's because if it's not right for you, then you just saying it's not right for you should be enough.
Right. It's like, Tamara, you gave that example about the chair. They asked you, will you be chair again? You say, no, thank you. Boom. That's it. Period.
Yeah.
End of story.
Yeah.
No, I'm not interested at this time.
Yeah. I've learned to do that with my students because they make a lot of demands sometimes too. You know, I really need this deadline extended. And I say, no, I'm sorry. No explanation.
Period.
Not going to happen.
And then you stop.
It's amazing. The minute you start saying why, they attack the why.
Yes. They attack the why. My children do that. They're really good. Why can't I have more time? Yeah. I want more time on my phone, my box, my yada yada. No. Yeah. Why not? I don't need to tell you.
That's yeah. true. Maybe our parents had it right when they said, because I said so.
Because I said so. Not at this time. But this is not something that comes easy to a lot of people. It feels awkward and uncomfortable. It feels unladylike. It feels like, who am I to speak up to my husband, my boss, my coworkers? Yeah. So we're not trying to minimize this and, you know, joke around too much. But at the same time, it can be just as simple as that, where it's kind, it's polite, and it's done with a smile. And it takes some practice for a lot of us.
Yeah, I know this happened with our dogs over the weekend. We were out walking and my dog isn't good with other dogs. And this other dog owner was getting close. And I was like, she's not good with other dogs. And he kept trying to come closer and wanted me to explain. And I was starting to do that. And my son, he's 25, turned to me and goes, Mom, you don't need to explain. If you say your dog's not good with other dogs, they need to respect that. And I was like, you're right. You know, but I was too big. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Stay away.
True. No means no, or yes, whatever it is that you feel, say it and that's it. You don't need to apologize.
No, exactly. And so in the final 10, number 10, we have to be firm and persistent.
Yeah. I call this the non-wishy-washy clause.
Yeah.
Because I don't think people take you seriously until you are consistent. Mm-hmm. You know, I go back to that whole resentment angle where you expect the world to morph to your standards. And, I told people I'm not eating sugar. So the whole world should stop eating sugar around me. No, I needed to be consistent for myself and tell people over and over again, oh, that Jell-O has sugar in it. No, thank you. Yeah. I don't eat sugar. I had to say that hundreds of times to a lot of people in my life. And over time, they became my advocates now, where my kids at first would get grumpy at me. Why don't we have cookies and chips? But now they'll say to other people, oh, my mom doesn't eat that. No, thank you. And my kids are saying that for me. So I think if you give people time, if you're consistent with your choices, if you're consistent and not wishy-washy, eventually, you know, people get it.
They do. I think they do. But I think a lot depends on how your attitude, and like you said, your being confident and asserting that your rights are important. It's amazing how people will respond positively to that and say, oh yeah, you're right.
And it all comes back to those earlier points that we made, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, for me, I think it was number three, I said, is the heart of the matter. It's like, once you figure out what you really want, the rest of this flows. Yeah. But if you're having trouble with any of these, I think you got to go back to those earlier points in our podcast.
Yeah. Sometimes when you're not being assertive, you realize you don't feel like you're worth it. So you have to go right back to number one and say, no, I'm worth it, and work on that to work up back through the steps.
Yeah. Cause if you don't think you're worth it, then,
or you're not going to be assertive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or you don't know what you want. You're just like, oh yeah, I kind of want this.
Exactly.
Yeah. If you don't feel that way, you got to go back to the beginning and then just go slowly. It doesn't happen overnight, becoming your own self-advocate.
No. And I always say this, don't beat yourself up, because, you know, we talk about these strategies, but I think you and I both admit that we struggle at many of these points. At least I know I do.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sharing more about food just because I feel like I've been successful in that area, but there's other areas of my life where it's a struggle for me to go through and be a self-advocate in certain situations. Yeah. So I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm just saying this is what I've learned, you know, in this one area that's worked well for me.
Exactly. So listeners, we want to know what's worked for you. Have you attempted to advocate for yourself, and what's been working? Tell us your plan by emailing Stephanie@dirtylazyketo.com or through Facebook or Instagram at Dirty Lazy Keto. But before we get to our final hacks, let's take one last break.
Thank you, Tamara. Well, I know there are a lot of obstacles when you're trying to lose weight, and I want to help you tackle each one. With each of the Dirty Lazy Keto books, there are answers to common problems. I know some of the topics that listeners share with me they struggle with are getting motivated, you know, dealing with family, asserting yourself at work, grocery shopping hacks, meal planning, you know, how to order out at restaurants or substitute ingredients, or even trying to manage a tight budget. So all of these obstacles and more are in the Dirty Lazy Keto cookbooks. I've got you covered. So order your copy today from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or pick up a copy at Costco or Target today.
Fantastic. Thanks, Stephanie. So why don't we wrap up by sharing our personal dirty or lazy hack? So what's yours, Stephanie?
Tamara, whenever I'm struggling, which it can happen to all of us, my hack is to put it in writing. So I do this in my personal relationships, at work, even in my Grubhub order. This is how it helps me, is instead of like ruminating and going around and around in a circle in my brain, you know, playing it over about what I really want, I just write it out. I find that by putting it in an email or text, it's a lot easier for me to articulate what I want as opposed to just verbalizing it, which I stumble. And it really does help. So putting in writing, I feel like it removes my need to people please, like you said earlier.
That's a great idea. For me, what I struggle with a lot is my emotions. And I would even say maybe even feeling like a victim. My hack is to not do that. Don't go in as a victim. Don't go in like, you should do this because look how hurt you hurt me, or look how much work I'm doing, or, you know, that actually, while it's in your head, that may feel good and sound okay. It's not that effective, actually. So what I suggest is take the emotions, deal with them some other way in writing, like you have, like a journaling or talking to a friend or whatever. But then when you go in to actually make your request, keep the emotion out as much as possible, because people are better at the request. So focus on what you want. Here's exactly what I want, and here's how I want it, and here's the day. And then forget about the, you, but I'm so upset and you should do this because I deserve it. And, you know, blah, 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 blah. So keep it professional, even with your personal life, you'll get a better response.
Great message, Tamara. Well, listeners and viewers, we want to urge you to take some of this advice. I think being a self-advocate is one of the best things that you can do, because let's face it, people will continue to walk all over you, but only if you let them. It's really up to you to set those boundaries and to enforce them. Your family, friends, coworkers, they can't read your mind. Clearly state your needs without apology, but just as important, enforce your limits.
And are you enjoying the Dirty Lazy Girl podcast? Show your support by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. Or if you're watching on YouTube, give the episode a thumbs up, leave a comment, and subscribe to our channel.
And as we wrap up today's episode, I believe Tamara would like to leave you with an inspirational message.
Oh, this one's from Anne. I won't say her last name, but this was so inspirational. She said, oh my God, what if you wake up someday and you're 65 or 75 and you never got your memoir or novel written, or you didn't go swimming in the warm pools and oceans all those years because your thighs were jiggly and you had a nice, big, comfortable tummy, or you were just so strung out on perfection and people pleasing that you forgot to have a big, juicy, creative life of imagination and radical silliness and starting and staring off into space like when you were a kid. It's going to break your heart, so don't let it happen.
See you next week.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please tell a friend. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen to podcasts.
For more information about what we talked about today, or just to get in touch, visit DirtyLazyKeto.com. See you next week.